Today's scripture reading is Revelation 19, verse 10. At this, I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, "Do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brother and brothers who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." Having special music? Okay. Castor family.
Can we scooch down, guys? Make room for one more? All right, way to go. The story I'm going to tell you this morning is true. You might think it's not, but it is true, and it happened in the mission field a long ways away, but it wasn't too very long ago. In this mission field out in the Congo, the missionaries were working very hard to let the gospel be known to the native people there. But the witch doctor didn't like it. And the other ministers in the area did not like it because they wanted the congregations to come to church on Sunday. Well, this one missionary who was from another church didn't like the Seventh-day Adventist missionaries. And yet, he thought the work they were doing was really quite good. Well, he worked very hard on the chief of this village to get him to come to his church. And so the chief started to go to this missionary's church. And he would take his whole family on Sunday morning and they would go to the church. And they would sing and worship together. Well, one day, on a Saturday, the chief said to his wife, "I'm going out to the garden. And come with me. We're going to hoe the garden and weed it and pick what we have out there and take care of our garden." So the family decided, okay, we're all going to go out to the garden and do this work, and they started to walk. Well, it was a little ways to their garden. And as they were walking, they passed by this pasture where there was a fence line, and there were some cows in there and a bull in there. And they had to go through this pasture over to the other side to get to their garden. So they went under the fence and they were walking through the pasture and they saw the cows walking along beside them, and what do you think they did? They kind of went right in front of them, right between them and their garden, right on the edge of the fence there. And they looked at them and they thought, "What on earth are these cattle doing?" And the bull just kind of stood there, nice horns, and he looked at him. And the chief thought, do we want to go around him? And all of a sudden he heard a voice, and the voice said, "Why are you not keeping my Sabbath holy?" He looked around. "Why are you tending your garden on the Sabbath?" And he saw the bull was talking. A lot of you have been to my farm. Have you ever seen those animals talk? No, I haven't either. And they stood there with their mouth hanging open. And this bull said, "Don't you know that the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God, and thou shalt keep it holy?" They saw this bull's mouth moving. There was not a soul around. Well, the chief was astounded, And these animals did not move. They stood right there. And this bull said, "You must keep the Sabbath holy." Well, the chief turned around with his family and he went home and he took out his Bible and he started to study his Bible. And do you know what? Not only the chief became a Seventh-day Adventist, his family did, and many, many of the villagers became Seventh-day Adventists because of this talking bull. What do you think the bull was? That's right. Was the bull an angel in disguise? Yeah. Yes. Do you know that we will see angels in disguise? We will meet angels in disguise here in these last days and here on earth. We will meet angels in disguise. It would be wonderful, wouldn't it? Sometimes we may not know it, and other times we will. Well, you know what? God can cause miracles for others, and he will cause miracles for us if we are listening and if we are looking to him. But if we're all interested in the latest video game or the latest movie, or are we going to be interested in hearing what the Lord has to say to us? No. How about the books you read? If you're reading the latest novel or the greatest love story or the most phenomenal science fiction, are the things of God going to be interesting to us? Do you know, remember the song when you were real little, "Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do"? Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. And then it goes, "Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down with love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. For the Father up above is looking down with love. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear." I challenge you this week. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are of good report, think on these things, study these things, and leave the others behind, so that when the time comes that you might witness an angel unawares, you will be aware. And I challenge you as adults this week, be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you read. Think on heavenly things. Study on heavenly things. Let us be prepared. Let us be waiting for our Lord to talk to us. All right, you may go back to your seat.
Well, I'm glad Adam was here today, too, kind of to help us out up here. It's good to see him back with us. Everybody, there aren't very many self-taught people. Most people have someone. Maybe it's a trade they know. Maybe they went to school for what they know. But most people have someone who was a mentor, someone who was a teacher, someone who showed them the ropes, books they've read, manuals they've read, seminars they've gone to. We have a lot of different vocations in this church. From working at nuclear plants to unloading ships to repairing homes to farmers to hospital accounting, you name it. There's just a lot of different vocations that are represented. And generally it takes instruction to before you're able in your field. And I always asked a lot of questions. I'm not an expert at what I do. Done it a long time, maybe have some experience, but when there's tours of other places, other farms, I love to go to them, and I have usually a lot of questions to ask. And, you know, I like to find out the details. And I enjoy that, and especially if I see someone is successful. You know, it looks like they've done a good job and know what they're doing. I like to find out, you know, exactly what they're doing. You know, we have some instruction spiritually. And sometimes if we question our success spiritually, maybe the best thing is to kind of look at the manual, see what's going on, see if maybe there's something we could do to improve the job we're doing. It's nice to be, if someone says once in a while, wow, you've done a good job at that. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's time to take a detour and say, well, hey, I've arrived. Here I am. I've done a good job. I've made it. There's other people who think know what I'm doing. Now, probably that you're just about ripe for a fall at that point and make a big mistake. The truth is, we can always be learning, advancing, whether it be spiritually or even in our own work. We can always learn more, advance. I can't really imagine having a farmer say, and I recently went to a corn and soybean expo, and there were probably 300 farmers there. And I really can't imagine any of them saying, well, I didn't really learn anything here. I pretty much knew all this, and, you know, I've pretty much got it together. There's pretty much something there for everyone to learn, something to advance, something to gain from being there. Even if you're profitable and have done well and your crops have done well, there's always something to learn. And it's the same spiritually. We can advance. We can be more efficient in what the Lord would have us to do. You know, we've been studying the testimonies and prayer meeting and kind of learned some things and gotten a blessing from it. There's been a lot of people attending, and it's been a blessing. We're just kind of hitting some high points, you know, but getting some interest in them, and it's been a blessing. And someone said to me recently, well, I've been an Adventist all my life, and I've never read anything in the testimonies. Didn't really know there was any profit in it, really. And I thought to myself, wow, it's a shame, really, because I've, in my life, you know, I've gotten a lot of encouragement and strength and from, you know, reading the letters to other people. And sometimes it's tough to be reproved. Sometimes it's tough to be told that maybe you're messing up. especially if you've been doing something a long time. You tend to defend your position a little bit, you know, and tend to make everybody know that, no, I know, I'm all set. I know right what I'm doing. You know, there's a story in Exodus 4. And verse 21. We'll start with verse 21. We'll skip a couple verses, but it'll give you a context at least. Exodus 4 and verse 21. Basically, Moses is getting ready to head back to Egypt. Now, for the first time since he's been gone 40 years tending sheep in the wilderness. And it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, when thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine head, but I will harden his heart. Thee shall not let the people go." So he's getting ready to head back to Egypt. And he goes, and it came to pass, I'm down to verse 24 now. "And it came to pass by the way in the inn," so he's on the way, he's got his family with him, "that the Lord met him and sought to kill him." This is Moses. "Then Zipporah," Moses' wife, "took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, Surely a bloody husband art thou to me. So he let him go." It said the Lord met him now. Now it says, "So he let him go." I'm going to read you that story in Patriarchs and Prophets. It's very brief. On the way from Midian, Moses received a startling and terrible warning of the Lord's displeasure. An angel appeared to him in a threatening manner, as if he would immediately destroy him. No explanation was given. But Moses remembered that he had disregarded one of God's requirements, yielding to the persuasion of his wife. He had neglected to perform the rite of circumcision upon his youngest son. He had failed to comply with a condition by which his child could be entitled to the blessings of God's covenant with Israel. And such a neglect on the part of their chosen leader could not but lessen the force of the divine precepts on the people. Zipporah, fearing that her husband would be slain, performed the rite herself, and the angel then permitted Moses to pursue his journey. In his mission, now listen, this is really important. In his mission to Pharaoh, Moses was to be placed in a position of great peril. His life could be preserved only through the protection of holy angels. But while living in neglect of a known duty, he would not be secure, for he could not be shielded by the angels of God. In the time of trouble, just before the coming of Christ, the righteous will be preserved through the ministration of heavenly angels. But there will be no security for the transgressor of God's law. Angels cannot then protect those who are disregarding one of the divine precepts. You know, we so often think, well, it's just a little thing. You know, come on. like I'm not going to go to heaven if I worry about this or that. You know, I mean, come on, let's not get carried away. It's just a small thing. Small things disregarded become big things. If I planted soybeans in a field, while you're planting them, generally you inoculate them so that they will begin to get nitrogen from the soil. And It's just a tiny little bit of powder you put on the seed. Dave's probably done this more than I have. And it's just a little bit of powder you put on the seed. But it's extremely important. Because if they don't begin to get those nodules on the roots, you don't get a crop. Just a tiny little bit of powder you sprinkle on the seed. That's it. That's it. But it's an important step. The testimonies that we've been given for our church are full of letters to people where they needed counsel. Maybe they needed encouragement. Maybe they needed to be told the truth about themselves. And we like to hear the good things while we're being successful at. But the truth is, there's a lot of information there. And there's a lot of things that would help us along the way. These are inspired. They're to tell us. You know, Christ was here and shared the burdens that we share, the relationships that we struggle with. He shared all those things, the temptations we have. He bore our guilt. And so then he's going to give us some information that's going to help us along the way, lead a more successful Christian life where we can truly have times where we aren't discouraged or depressed, where we can have the joy of spiritual help and the joy of being free from guilt, the joy of knowing that I can trust God. And these things are given to us as an advantage. It would be just like someone saying to me, hey, Will, you know, if you do this, your crops will be better or whatever. And me, by me avoiding it, well, yeah, maybe, but I can't pay attention to him. But wait a minute, his crops are twice as good as mine. Maybe I should pay attention. Maybe I should watch and listen. Maybe if he has something to say, I ought to go, really? Okay, how much did you use? What did you do? What was your timing? Where, you know, and get the details. Not just say to ourselves, well, my crops are pretty good too. No, find the details and see if it could be improved. You know, the testimonies are the details. They're an advantage to us. They'll be used not as a hammer on your head. Don't defend yourself in reading them, but look for the help that God, our Christ, our brother, is offering us. Either we believe them or we don't. And you know what? Sometimes some of them are hard to read. They get right into you. You know, you ever read something and figure out that, man, I can't believe it. I think that was written exactly for me. And it isn't necessarily something God, you know, is written just for me. Maybe it was. We have such a tendency to defend, and we think that if we don't know the reason why something was given, or the details behind it, or the science behind it, or the economic reasons behind it, or whatever, if we don't know and don't fully understand, then we're not going to really accept that. That isn't, come on. You know, this was long ago and far away. Let's go to Joshua 6. I'm not going to belabor this and go on. I think the Bible, the stories make it clear. Joshua 6 and starts out, and the Lord, verse 2, and the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor, and ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once, and ye shall do it for 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. Now I'm here to tell you, they've just crossed. The people are afraid because they've just crossed the river, which God opened for them. They've crossed the river. Manna has stopped. And the people saw them cross the river, and they're afraid. They've locked themselves in the city, walled cities. Now, they've found Jericho now, and they say the walls were approximately 30 feet wide at the base. 30 feet. That's a, and I don't remember how high, huge walls around the city. And they usually had great stocks and provisions, so that when they went into a walled city, they were pretty sure they were okay. Obviously, they aren't going to break through these walls. People of Israel, who was supposed to circle the city? Was it all the people? No, it was the men of war, the men who prepared for battle. We're going to march around the city. We're going to blow some trumpets and march around the city. Wow, they're going to be scared. Did it make sense? Did they understand it? How about when they did it Tuesday? Maybe they understood it better than Thursday? I can't think of any of those 6 days that those people understood actually what they were doing. But God said it. End of story. You know, that's the attitude God wants to have with us when it comes to obedience. Okay, I don't understand everything that it talks about in the testimonies when it talks about parental responsibility or duty of parents. It talks about living healthfully. It talks about, and it gives details. It talks about keeping the Sabbath. It talks about how to do business. You know, and be accurate and be efficient and do your business well, not take advantage of others. It gives great details about a lot of things. I don't understand all of it. But let's see, the last time those people came up to the promised land, every single one of them had to die because they wouldn't trust God. So this group, 40 years later, comes up to the promised land, and they decide, you know what? I don't think we're going to disregard the details here. I think we're going to do what God asks us to do, and we're going to do it faithfully. However absurd it is, science hasn't yet proven all the information that we have health-wise given by inspiration to us. Science hasn't proven it all. You know who I'm going to trust? Inspiration. I don't understand all of it. I don't get all of it. But it's inspired. I can have faith in it. I can trust it. It shouldn't be scary to have our older brother give us advice. It shouldn't be a negative. It shouldn't be, oh, there's so many do's and don'ts. No, wait a minute. He's been here. I can trust him. He's given me information. I'll ask him to help me make my way through it and obey it and trust it. Remember, Moses was not going to be able to deliver those people because he was disregarding something he knew he should do. Just a little thing, though. You know, people say sometimes they don't understand how come Uzzah, when he tried to protect the ark from falling over, that he was struck dead. You know, it's pretty clear to me that he thought he knew better. Science hadn't proven to him yet that he was going to be struck dead when he tried to keep the ark from falling. He's pretty self-sufficient. I can handle this. Oh, really? I don't think so. you know, I can get through it without worrying about what the testimonies have to say. That's written how long? 100, 150 years ago? Do I really? Come on. That's pretty passe today. No. No. My older brother gives me advice. Best thing I can do is see if I can take advantage of it. The information there is a blessing. It's not a list of the things you'll miss out on. It's a blessing. You want to trust God more fully? Find out what His plan is for us. You want to be encouraged spiritually? We're promised prosperity, but it's spiritual prosperity we're promised, not what the world has to offer. It's not, you know, yeah, okay, I'm a big success, wow. It's not what it's about. It's about spiritual prosperity. Christ says, is the servant better than the master? When I was here, I had trouble. I didn't know where to lay my head. It was not about everything being smooth. The Bible doesn't predict anywhere that the remnant will have a smooth path. What it predicts is that they can trust God. And we need to take advantage of as much of the information we can so that we will trust Him daily. Every morning, on our knees, looking for His direction, looking for His help. Looking for our older brother to give us advice and mentor us, mentor our way through spiritually. I pray that we take advantage of the information that's been given us. One more thing I wanted to say before we have the prayer, and that is, it's predicted that the last great deception will be to make the inspired testimonies of none effect, that people will want to and decide to disregard them. And so we can deter that with our faith in them. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, we do thank You for the spirit of prophecy and the Bible, the information You've given us, the stories You've given us, and the trials You went through. Pray that we will gain strength from them daily. Thank You, Lord, for hearing our prayers, and we pray as we go out this week that we'll be more fully committed to You every day, that we will trust You daily. Pray this in Your name, amen.